Let me tell you that during days in this country where I was preparing this message, I often visit the simple homes of anyone willing to talk about old traditions. Many of them are interested in such topics, it turns out. And I listen as my local colleague engages them in their dialect, and I follow carefully their discussion as he gently reaches out to ask them if they are sure all their sins are forgiven, and as a result, if they are confident they have a place reserved for them in heaven. It's always good to plan for the future, isn't it? And before I travel to each new area, I would always make a reservation in some kind of lodge or inn or basic hotel there. It's reassuring to know where you're going, even if much else about your journey may be unfamiliar. The Apostle Peter encourages us to think that way too, about the ultimate journey we can have to make when life is over for us. He talks about the Christian hope of obtaining an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for those who are true Christian believers. In that country we're being referring to, we find many who are ready to express the understanding that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross to pay for the sins of humanity. They see this very readily, but their confidence quickly fades to hesitation when asked if they're certain of a personal reservation in heaven. Not sure, they say, thinking that it will depend in some way on their own performance. That it should be like this isn't surprising, as they have a generational respect for the Pope. And returning to what we mentioned earlier, here it gets reported on Vatican Radio that Pope Francis had been visiting the Vatican Crypt in order to pray for the safe repose of the departed souls of previous popes. This hardly inspires confidence among the general population. If a Pope can't be sure of making it, then we might well ask, who can? If they're going to be more sure than the Pope himself, then they're going to have to think of themselves as outperforming the Pope, something they definitely shy away from thinking. I contrast these doubtful locals with others I recall encountering on a never-to-be-forgotten afternoon in the forested, mountainous interior. Some of my other friends and co-workers had been hearing God's word based around the very text that we're exploring in this series. I probably don't need to remind you again that it comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God,
not as a result of work,
so that no one may boast. And we've already defined the salvation here as being salvation from God's final judgment, with the need being by God's grace, that is, his unmerited favor towards us, and access by genuine action-based faith on our part. When I visited this remote village among the rubber trees that gave the villagers their cash crop, I must confess I was a little unprepared for their enthusiasm.